Dear friends in Christ, grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our beloved and blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. From the Gospel reading today, the healing of the man who was born blind, I'd like to read just a portion of that Gospel for your consideration today. Beginning of the first part of that reading in verse 1, as he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as I am in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. And he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. And then he testified repeatedly of what Christ had done for him. He answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. And so I went and I washed and I received my sight. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Well then, picture this little scenario. You walk into the kitchen, and lying there in front of the refrigerator is an open milk carton laying on its side on the floor, and a large pool of milk spilled out on the floor. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? I'll bet it's not, let me go get the mop so I can clean it up. At least not if you live with other people. I bet your first thought is, who did this? Who's responsible for this mess? I don't know. We have some kind of a strange need to always blame someone or something for everything that goes wrong. And then, frankly, we do come by that quite honestly. It's really a family trait. When God found our first parents hiding away behind the bushes after they had committed their dastardly deed, he asked them what had happened. Remember what Adam's response was? The woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit and I ate. That's our common father. Blame God for giving him the woman, and blame the woman for giving him the fruit. And because it's their fault, that excuses my loveless attitude. That's our dad. And the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree, does it? Fast forward now to the time of Christ, when he and his disciples came upon this man who was born blind. And judging by this text, this man had been something of a fixture in that spot. For years, the people had passed him by, and they had tossed their alms to him, you know, a coin here and there, maybe a piece of bread, a chunk of meat. And that's how this man made his pitiful living. And when the disciples saw him, their first thought, drawing on the theology that was so popular in their day, and frankly is still popular, their first thought was, who sinned, this man or his parents, that his life is such a mess? They see the mess, and the first thing that pops into their mind is not to try to do something to help, but to assign blame. Someone must have done something wrong, or his life wouldn't be such a mess. And you see, if we can assign blame like that, then we can also justify in our minds not reaching out to love that person or to show mercy to that person. After all, he brought it upon himself. Or if it's his parents' sin that caused this, then his family should be taking care of him. But in any case, his mess is not my business. And then with that kind of logic, we can excuse ourselves from not getting involved in other people's messes. You know, Mr. Jones smoked his whole life. Now he's got cancer. What can I do about that? Okay, so she contracted a sexually transmitted disease and she ruined her life. What'd she think was going to happen? And some of those Haitians, you know, they were practicing voodoo. So God is only giving to Haiti exactly what they deserve. And having assigned the blame, we go our way content to say, I'm not my brother's keeper. Their mess isn't my business. But Jesus approaches the whole mess of this world and of our lives with mercy. His first impulse is not to ask, who's responsible for this? But he's the one who immediately rolls up his sleeves and goes and gets the mop to clean up the mess. I did not come to judge the world, he once said, but to save the world. I've come into this world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in the darkness. I came that they may have life, and have it abundantly. That is the work of God, in his mercy, to save this world from the mess that it's in, and to save each of us from our messes, and to give us light and hope and fullness and abundance of life and joy. And it was the purpose of this man's blindness that God's goodness would be put on public display. Jesus said this happened to this man so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And mercy had its intended effect in this man's life, didn't it? Now, all of a sudden, seeing, this man born blind becomes a living, breathing billboard by which others can now see the great mercy of God on display in his life. And just look at his testimony as he broadcasts to the world what happened to him. He says, he, Jesus, put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and now I see. And one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see, and it was Jesus who showed mercy to me. And to the amazement of all, and to the confounding of his enemies, the undeniable work of God, his amazing grace, his incredible mercy, is now on display in this man's life for everyone to see. So, two things for us. First of all, we should associate ourselves with that blind man. We are that blind man. As we sing in the song, Amazing Grace, I once was blind, but now I see. You know, when you're born blind, you have no concept at all of what you're missing. You've never seen the face of your mother. You've never seen a flower with its delicate petals and its subtle colors and its beauty. Never seen the stateliness of a tree. You don't even know what blue is, or what the sky looks like, or what a cloud is. You've never seen the twinkle of a star. And lacking that vision, life is reduced to little more than gathering up the alms. And your whole life becomes focused around getting whatever you need to get to keep body and soul together in this world. It is a mess of a life. It's a dark and a pitiful life. But it's the only life that most people in this world really know and understand. They do not even have a concept of what they are missing out on. They cannot see the beauty of God in the face of Christ. They cannot see the wonders of his love and the glory of his grace. They cannot see the countenance of God lifted up upon them on account of their forgiveness in Christ. They can't see what we sometimes call the beatific vision of the goodness of God proven to us in the sacrifice of his Son for our salvation. They cannot see just beyond the horizon the glorious inheritance of the saints that awaits us. They can't imagine any of that. All they've got is what this world tosses into their little tin can. They've got a little bit of money, a little bit of food, enough to hold body and soul together. And yet they live in the darkness. And then Jesus came along. He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Or as we would say it, he opened up my eyes to the gospel, and I was baptized, and now I see all these things. By the sheer mercy of God, I see that there is more to life than the scraps that the world has been throwing at me. There is the smile of God. I hadn't seen it until Christ. There is the glory of His kingdom. There is the peace of sins forgiven. There is the hope of eternity. Eternal riches at the right hand of God. Life is full and it's abundant and it's bright now that I can see. We were that blind man. I was blind, but now I see. And the second thing for us is this. Christ gave us this sight and this vision so that the work of God might be displayed through us, through our lives. Like that man born blind and now seeing, he becomes a living billboard for Christ. For Christ's mercy and His love. And that's God's will for each one of you too, who have been enlightened by the gospel, whose eyes have been opened by the Holy Spirit. His will is that His mercy would be on display in your life. And it's not hard to understand how that's done. Just do what the blind man did and testify. All I know is that I was blind, but now in Christ I can see. I can see so much that I never imagined before. I see hope for my life. I see a reason to rejoice every day in the mercies of God. I see God smiling upon me because I am forgiven for the sake of the one who died for me, His Son. Put His mercy on display through your testimony. And then, of course, the other way to put God's work and His mercy on display in your life is to show mercy to someone else. Regardless of whether that person brought on their own mess or not, it doesn't matter. But the word of the prophet of God through his prophet is, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And Paul says in Romans 15 that the whole reason God kept His promise to the Jews was so that the Gentiles may glorify God for His mercy. You see, when God redeems someone, He wants that person to become a billboard for His mercy. When God shows His mercy to you, He puts His mercy on display in your life so that others can see, so that their eyes might open up to the vision of a brighter, more hopeful, more joy-filled life in the glorious kingdom of the Son. And on that point, there is a little poem that I like, and I thought I'd share with you this morning. Here it is. I have wept in the night for the shortness of sight that to somebody's need made me blind. But I never have yet felt a twinge of regret for being a little too kind. Show a little kindness. Show a little mercy. When you forgive someone, you show that you love mercy more than justice. When you help someone, you prove that mercy is love with its sleeves rolled up. And when you testify of what Christ has done for you, your mercy opens up the eyes of the blind to a life that they could never have otherwise imagined was possible. By your mercy, the work of God will be displayed in your life. May God grant that we would all be those kinds of Christians. In the name of Christ, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.